Well, today we're visiting with Stanley Thornbad, who lives out in Patton Valley. And to get some notes here on Stanley's career, I think that's a good word to use, in the logging industry. And so, Stanley, to start out with here, let's get you on the map, your address, and so forth. So when I get to writing here, I'll have your address and all that.
Well, we're about 1 box 296.
All right, and that's a Gaston. That's a Gaston address. Okay, fine and dandy. Well, we got that down now. Well, Stanley, the other night, may I again congratulate you, Stanley, for winning the Outstanding Tree Farmer Annual Award from the Washington County Small Woodlands Association, Stanley. I think they picked out a pretty good guy to win that award, Stanley. That was wonderful.
Well, thank you, Paul.
You're doggone right. So, Stanley, let's find out now a little bit about your logging career. You've been in this business a long time, and you can pretty well tell what a tree should be by looking at it. Stanley, is that a pretty good assumption?
Well, that's right.
You're doggone right. Well, Stanley, the other night you told me when we visited very briefly, you know, when the meeting was over, that you actually got into logging back in the spring of 1928, is that right?
Spring of 28, just for a short while.
I see. Well, what had you done, Stanley, before you went into logging?
Well, that's it. Been logging all my life outside of about 4 years in the shipyards.
I see. Well, let's see, that caught you in 1928. Did that catch you after school, or where was it, Stanley?
Yeah, out of high school.
That's when you got out of high school in 28, and then you went in. You graduated in 1927.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, fair enough. All right, so we got you started in logging. What was the name of the first outfit that you went to work for?
Well, Clark and Wilson Timber Company.
Now, they were, where were they based, Stanley?
Well, they were there in the St. down in St. Helens area, I think. No, on down. They went on down and out. Where plywood company used to be down there. Down there to put
that's where their plywood operation was.
Yeah.
At St. Helens?
No, it wasn't St. Helens. Went on down to Linton, they call that place.
Linton?
Amelia's Pass.
Oh, down to Linton. Mm-hmm. Well, now is there, wait a minute. Now, is that that little mill that's down there still, or?
They had a big mill. They were a big large operator.
At Linton.
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
Yeah. Well, now it's gone now,
oh,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's years ago.
That's Linton, isn't
yeah.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's located on Cornelius Pass, is it?
Yeah, well, it's just off the highway there.
Off the hill, off the highway.
Linton, the highway goes right through Linton.
Yeah.
All down there.
Well, that's after you go over Cornelius Pass and you start north, you'd go through Linton.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, now we got it on the map. Okay. When so you hired out at this outfit, what was your first job?
Choker setter.
You were a choker setter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you told me the other night that you did a little stint whistle funking. Was it?
Well, yes. That didn't last long.
Well, now, but your first job was a choker setter.
That's right.
Right. Okay. How'd you happen to whistle punk there, Stanley?
Well, that was in about 1932 in there, and
you'd choker settered for quite a while before you did a little stint
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went from that job on up to C.H. Wheeler Cochran, and I worked there the last 3 months of 1929.
That was C.H. who now?
C.H. Wheeler.
Wheeler, W-H-E-E-L-E-R.
Yeah.
At Cochrane.
Yeah.
Now, that's Cochrane, Oregon.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what was your second job, in other words?
Well, that was third rigging there.
Oh, yeah.
That was all highline skidder logging.
I see.
You ever see one of those machines?
Oh, yes, indeed I have. I was at Riderwood, Washington.
Oh, yeah.
When they were doing the big stuff in Riderwood. And I graduated from the Riderwood High School in 38, and they were logging big stuff at that time.
I've got some pictures. Did you care to see them?
Well, yeah, I got quite a few, too, of highline stuff, where they were highlining the stuff across canyons and that sort of thing. Then they'd have a steam pot down in the bottom, and in fact, I've hiked down with my dad. My dad was a master machinist, and he was a donkey doctor in the woods, and he'd have to go down and work on these steam pots once in a while, you know, down the way to heck and going down the canyon.
Well, I'll have Millie bring some of those pictures out if you want to see them.
Millie.
All right, yeah. Okay, so we got you on the second job now. And, okay, let's just go on down the road here after you got through there at Cochrane.
Well, from spring of 1930, I went to work for Crown Zeller back at Cathlamet, Washington.
Oh, I see.
And I worked there for 7 years.
All right. And was this still logging?
Yeah, still 1937.
In 1937.
Yeah.
How long was you with the Crown?
7 years.
Okay, yeah, I believe you said that. All right. Now, what specific job were you doing with Crown Zellerbach?
Well, I went from choker setting on up to head rigger. That was a foreman of the side.
Foreman of the side, yeah, you bet. Yeah. Okay, now, after you did that, how long did you stay with Crown?
Well, 7 years.
7 years, okay, I believe you said that a while ago. All right. Well, then, from there, did you strike out on your own, Stanley?
Well, not right away. I went to work for a Weyerhaeuser Timber Company.
Oh, I see.
And I worked for them at Otto Chehalis, and Otto Longview and Otto Chehalis both.
Well, now, you must have known some people in Long Bell then, didn't you, Stanley?
I had one of the fellows working for me that was a high climber.
That wouldn't have been a Repito, would it?
Well, I know Paul Repito.
Oh, do you know Paul? I know him, too. Yeah.
No, he worked out there in those years in the 30s, you know, and...
I suppose you have their book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew all the Repito boys. They were in Riderwood when I was.
Yeah. And then there's another lad that was from Riderwood. I don't recall his name just now. But
yeah. By any chance, you didn't know my dad, Herman Alexander?
No.
Didn't happen to know my dad. No. Yeah. Well, there was Vandercook. Did you know? He was the head man of Riderwood.
Right. Yeah.
And then there was a Van Orton. Did you know Van Orton?
No.
He was a side rotter. He was head of a...
Yeah.
He was one of the wheels there. And then...
I had a chance to go to work before Long Bell after I finished up down at Silver Falls Timber Company.
Oh, you went then? You went from...
I was up to Blackford. I'll take that back. I was up to... Black Rock, Willamette Valley Industries Camp up there, and that's when they wanted me to go. I'll go and take that job down at for Long Bell.
Oh, I see.
Long Bell logged out here on out from Vernonia.
Oh, yeah.
The skidder, that's the Silver Falls Timber Company.
Well, now, Silver Falls, was that ahead of Crown? No, that would have been after Crown Zellerbach.
Oh, that was afterwards, yes.
Yeah, that was... Now, after you left Crown Zellerbach...
37 and 38.
You left Crown, and you went to work for the...
Silver Falls Timber Company.
And they were located at...
At Silverton.
Silverton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, while you were there, you worked there 2 years, 37 and 38. Then you had a chance to...
Up to logging there.
Did you?
After 25 years.
Well, what happened to them? Did they just shut down, or?
Well, yeah, that's right. They finished.
They finished up.
Yeah.
Then you had a chance to go to work for Long Bell, but instead of going to work for Long Bell, what did you do then?
I went to work for Florey Timber Company.
Where?
Out of Carlton.
Out of Carlton.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And were you still working the sides there, or?
Yeah, that's right.
It was a side rod.
Yeah, but well, I was just the foreman of one side, over one side.
Well, now all these places that we've been talking about here, this was the big logging. This was old growth timber.
That's right. You know, the biggest tree that yarded in down there was over 13 feet 8, the first cut.
A lot of tree.
Yeah. There must have been about half a dozen of those logs about 20 feet long in that tree.
Good Lord, that's a lot of tree, Stanley. Well, now, in these different operations, I suppose it went from, well, let's say steam, possibly, on into diesel electric or into electric logging.
Not electric so much, but went into firing the boilers with oil instead of wood.
Oh, yeah. But when you started out, though, it was wood.
Oh, it was all wood, yeah.
Sure, yeah. And then they would, they were steam-operated donkeys.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, they were using...
The diesels come in, and they had them on coal deck machines and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And up until 1936, well, then you started to see the cap logging come in.
That's when the transition took place.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
When the big donkeys and the big equipment was replaced by cat logging.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we've got that transition in 1936. And, cat logging, when I think of cat logging, I'm thinking... Should I be thinking in terms of what they call the small gypos, Stanley?
Well,
the big outfits were using cat logging. Yeah. They went into cat logging from their big equipment.
Yeah, well, of course, the small operator, that's what he used too mostly.
Well, yeah, he was a cat man.
Yeah. When that equipment got old and the big operators didn't want it, well, then the little fellow.
he'd pick it up from the big operator.
Yeah.
They're big stuff. In other words, they're steam pots, and that's what we used to call them out of Riderwood, you know, down the canyons, the steam pots, and they'd the little guys would pick those up. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, did you work for anybody, a private outfit, after that, or did you have one more outfit you worked for, you went on your own?
Well, before I went on my own, I was working for, up out of Chehalis for Weyerhaeuser Timber Company.
Yeah.
And that's after that happened, we moved the skidder from one camp to the other, and where the skidder was to set, why they had covered it, whoever graded it out had covered up some stumps and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And moved the skidder in there, and over she went.
Ooh, aye.
Tipped over, and at the same time, just happened the fireman was on there. He thought I wanted to jack it up after he moved it up there, after he moved it into the setting, and level up the skidder, He was on there, and of course, when it tipped over, why, all you could see was just a big bunch of steam. When that cleared up a little bit, here he come crawling out between the two drums, and he died the next morning. He was still conscious all the time, though.
Oh, boy.
He'd been just been married 1 week.
Gee, oh, golly. Well, I do remember in Riderwood, they'd bring the boys into the first aid station in Riderwood, and I'm telling you, they was practically in pieces when they'd bring them in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it was...
They used to say about Flory, Joe Flory, when whether it actually happened or just another one of those loggers' tales, but the man get killed while he'd leave him behind a stump until the crew went in that night. And they'd pick him up and take the body and pick it up and take it in.
Boy. Logging in those days, that was something else.
This fellow took these pictures here. He's Kenny, did you ever hear of them?
Who?
Photographer Kenny?
Just vaguely, I think I believe, and there's some beautiful pictures. Well, now while we're taping here, all right, now Crown Zellerback, was that the last commercial outfit you worked for, Stanley?
Well, the last one was Weyerhaeuser Timber Company.
Or Weyerhaeuser. I should have said Weyerhaeuser.
Yeah.
All right. You work for Weyerhaeuser. Now, when did you strike out on your own?
Well, that would have been right after about 1946.
Mm-hmm. That's when you took off. Now, I believe you told me
the piece of timber up here that Lincoln Haynes at Carlton, that big mill that Carlton owned, and it was right up here. In fact, Stimson's truck road went right through it.
I see.
Lost that piece of timber there in 1946. And from then on, why?
Well, you told me
it was Jeppo Logger.
That's where that term came. That's really when it came into it, what they call a Jeppo Logger.
Nowadays, why, you've got the same thing. The big company used to log their own timber, but now they contract it out because the Jeppos will do it cheaper than, and they can do it.
That's the new format in logging.
Yeah, that's the way it's been for a good many years now.
When did that practice actually come in, would you say, Stanley, where they contracted out that way?
Well, it would be about, it would be after the Depression, that 1929.
Oh.
About in the middle 30s. They started in. Some of the big outfits were kind of leaders ahead of the others, but eventually they all went to that.
Well, Long Bell held out. I know, well, they held out a good many years.
That's when they made the transition, is when they went from railroad logging to truck logging, to the truck roads.
That transition between railroad and truck, would you say, occurred in the middle 30s?
Well, do you remember when Stimson Lumber Company went from railroad to truck?
No, I wasn't here at that time, Stanley, but you'd say that would be about when that transition took place, was in the middle 30s, when they started not using rail and going to log trucks.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, now the other night you told me that when you went on your own, you teamed up with another fella. I should have written it down. I may have written it down.
Al Anderson.
Yeah,
he lived in Forest Grove. We were partners in logging and sawmilling from 1957 to 1964.
You were good at quite a while there.
I think we must have milled about 10 million feet of timber in that time.
That's a lot of timber. You better believe it. You betcha. And,
we dissolved the partnership in 1964.
That's when you dissolved your partnership?
Yeah. And then, of course, I was on my own, whatever logging I did.
Well, did you do some logging around here on your own after that?
Yeah.
Well, you had some timber on your place here, up here in Patton Valley, didn't you, Stanley?
Up here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, not too much, so.
I see. But you were doing some, well, what would we call it, Stanley? Custom work for a term here, strictly on your own.
That's right. Yeah.
You got any idea how many custom jobs you might have done, Stanley?
Oh, I don't know. There's quite a few of them.
You'd have to count it. Did a little patch here, a little patch there.
Oh, I took out about a million feet off of Charlie Walters and what's the fellow that had to get your job before you.
Oh, you mean John Geyer?
Yeah.
Well, he worked for another paper, but...
That's for a starter.
Well, be doggone. You worked for old John, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
John was dairying up in the valley. He had a Jersey dairy up there.
I bought the timber from him. Same way with Walter.
Oh, we've known Charlie Walter and his wife for years. Yeah. They were kind of the neighbors in the valley there, you know, when we lived up in Chicago Valley.
Was that on the Bill Harris place? Did you know that?
Well, I can't just spot it on the map right at this point, but of course, yes, that's the name I recognize, that's for sure.
About 100 acres, and of course, most of that's in the lake now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. And the rest of it by the Madison brothers own it.
Yeah.
They traded land for timber that they had down around the schoolhouse. And
oh, I see.
Next to Kravankos there, you know.
Yeah. Okay, now when did you, after you logged a lot of different patches around locally, you might say, when did you actually retire, Stanley, from this logging game?
Well, I'm kind of still at it a little bit.
You didn't retire at all, you're still going.
I don't get out and do any logging, but I kind of oversee the jobs like this last year. This year I've been built quite a bit of road and things like that.
You're actually working a cat, are you, Stanley?
Well, I built quite a bit of road, but most of it I've hired it.
I see.
Hired by had a D7 in there that finished up the road to the top of the ridge there in Williams Canyon.
So what? So you're
can't afford
you're,
it anymore?
Huh?
Can't afford it anymore. All that equipment. This D7 that fella had belonged to Jepson, the Longview Fiber Logger. Mm-hmm. And he's got three of those towers, and this D7 it cost him paid $224,000 for it.
Boy,
just that one piece of equipment.
I tell you, yeah. So we just can't say that Stanley Tornblad is retired as of yet.
Well, he's still got some timber land.
All right. Stanley.
No, he got 100 acres of commercial timber up there at Vernonia.
Yeah, you wrote me up a nice little sheet here.
100 acres, and there's, this is all in timber over here in Williams Canyon, too, but I mean the bigger timber. 60 acres of that, and the younger timber, so.
Oh, I see. Well, you've given me some notes here, Stanley, that you this tree farm up near Vernonia, is that a 100-acre track up there?
No, it's about 240 acres.
I see, yeah. Well, oh, golly, Stanley, you've seen, you know, to kind of wind down here a little bit, Stanley, you've seen a lot of things happen in this logging industry.
I've worked in all phases of logging, from high lead logging, slack line logging, skidder logging, high skidder, high line logging, cap logging.
So there hasn't been much of it you've missed.
No.
You left out the whistle pump.
Yeah.
I had tried a little bit of that, too, for a few days. Okay. Well, Stanley, I think you've done a wonderful job here reviewing a very long career in logging. I subtracted out here from 1928 to 1982, but you sure put a lot of years into it.
Yeah. That's for sure. Well, that's a job where you're never sure. You don't know whether you're going to be here today or gone tomorrow. You just admire some of them.
Yeah. Well, Stanley, I would like to think some of these days we're going to get to back to building houses. That this old wood is still a pretty good material to build a house out of. Right, Stanley?
Right. I think it's probably the best.
Doggone right. And it'll turn around. What I mean?
It'll last a long time. Just look at some of these old barns that have been standing for 100 years.
You better believe it.
The one that was on the Charlie Williams place, sir. Why, that was leaning so bad, he was afraid to have his livestock in there. They put a cap on it, and they had an awful time to pull that thing over with the cap. All of the everything was put together, you know, and no nails used, those wooden pegs.
Well, that old barn, you know, there were two barns up where we lived in Scoggin Valley, and it took a heck of a lot of work to get that last barn down. It just wouldn't come down, that's all. It was so sturdy that it just wouldn't go, that's for sure. Stanley, one more question. I'm probably tiring you here, but one more question. They're teaching logging in high school. They've got courses in logging. What do you think is the future, Stanley, for young fellas in this logging game?
Well, I think, I don't know. There are so many other things that you could have got in a trade and learned. You wouldn't have to be fighting all that bad weather, you know. And it's during the World War II, they had a hard time getting men, and that's where this new equipment come in, like grapples and things like that. Where one man could get on a cap and go out and just without a choker set, or just go out there with that grapple and pull him up to a place where he could grab maybe a half a dozen of them or so, and away he'd go.
Yeah.
They cut the expenses a lot.
Bad.
And those big rigs like the skidders, so they had a normal crew was about 22 or 23 men on one of those sites, and you got to produce.
Yeah, I can see your expense factor there. Well, Stanley, I won't belabor you here with any more questions, but the Northwest, we are the log, our timber is very valuable to us. And I believe, like that fellow said the other night at the meeting, the private wood owner, has a wood lot, is going to get a little more important as down the road.
Oh, but that's right. Yeah, there'll always be a demand for wood.
You betcha. Stanley Tornbad, I want to thank you for just an awful nice visit here. I know there's far more we could talk about, Stanley. Goodness sakes, in a long career that you've had in this business. But I won't belabor you with any more questions on this one. Well, thank you very much. Folks, we've been talking with Stanley Tornbad, who lives up Patton Valley. And no, he's not retired yet, not by a long shot. He's still, once a logger, always a logger. Thank you, Stanley. Appreciate your help.
You betcha.
Thanks a lot.